Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. And I have some very special people in the studio. My guest host tonight is Jim Stubblefield, who's been on several times as a solo artist and also as part of Incendio. Jim, it's great to have you here. And actually, Jim was the one that introduced me to my guest tonight. And I just want to say congratulations. I know it's premature, but his album, Encantado, is up for consideration for a Grammy, which I think is really awesome.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
So that's
thank you.
Really cool. And no better person to help me do this show, an expert on different styles of guitar, both classical and electric. So it's great. But I want to give a little bit of background where I first heard this, my guest tonight. I was at NAMM, and JP and Lisa were with me, and we were walking out the, you know, and we were going over towards the Hilton, which was one of the hotels at the end of the show. And he said, "You got to go check this group out. There's these guys, they use classical guitars and they play heavy metal music, and it's really cool." So I'm like, "Okay, I got to check this out. This is," and it was awesome. It was really, really good. The name of the group was Heavy Mellow. And my guest, Ben Woods, was one of the guitarists. Luis Villegas was the other guitarist, and Mike Bennett on percussion. And it was mind-blowing. And, I mean, it was packed in that whole area in the Hilton was just wall-to-wall people. But it sounded really cool. My guest is Ben Woods. And he, besides known as a flamenco guitarist, he's one of the guys that I think it's very important to stress that he's pushing the bar and he's taking the guitar music in a totally unique direction, I think. And also, too, he's documenting it, that you can get sheet music, and he's publishing that. So there's more repertoire, and I think that's really vital to today, especially classical flamenco guitar, the whole thing. It's really important, I mean, to have new music, and he's one of the guys that's doing it. So I want to welcome Ben to the show. Ben, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, man. It's a real honor for me.
I just missed your mic. I'm doing great. Okay. But anyway, let me play a clip. And this, we'll discuss this. I'm not going to say anything about it. It's called Electric Flamenco Shred, and I'll explain that in a minute, why it's innovative. And but it kind of gives you an idea what Ben's about. Thank you. Now, there's a couple of things there that are kind of groundbreaking, and I think he's just like totally, it's just going against the grain, which I think is really good. First of all, that's done on electric guitar. And all those fast licks and all those fast notes, that's nails. That's your hand. You're not picking.
No, no pick.
That's amazing. I mean, that the every note's clear, it's ringing true. But I think that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, because that's a lot different than traditional flamenco. I mean, using an electric guitar in a flamenco setting. But it gives you a kind of an idea of what I think Ben's about. And it's obvious. It's really virtuoso material, but also, too, he's experimenting with sound. So tell us a little bit about that piece.
Well, I just wanted to do something kind of flashy, and also just something that shows some real authentic flamenco techniques, such as alzapua and picado and different kinds of arpeggios, but on an electric guitar that was played on a Mexican Telecaster, and neck pickup, clean, obviously, but with nails and with flamenco technique. And the only thing that wasn't really flamenco technique in there was the sweep arpeggios, which I had to do a little. I had to kind of figure out how to do that with my hand. And nowadays, I actually prefer. I never really knew how to do it with a pick, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I had to figure out how to do it with the hand, which I kind of prefer now, because I can use all five fingers or four fingers instead of just one pick sweeping across.
Right. They usually use like a sweeping technique to do that. Sweep up and down.
Yeah. I will go like thumb, hammer, thumb, index, middle, ring, middle, ring, 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 middle. Something like that.
Nice.
So it's a little bit easier for me to do with four fingers. Basically, I have four picks instead of one.
Right.
So
yeah.
But it's interesting to get that. It's precise and right on the money. But it gives you an opportunity, actually, more than a person using a pick, because you can articulate more. Each finger is, you're actually attacking it a little bit. Instead of a sweep, you're actually attacking each note.
A little bit more. Yeah, I think so. And obviously, without a pick, I'm not hindered to play just single note lines. I can play bass notes at the same time, which works really good if you don't have a bass player or you want some accompaniment to the melody.
Now, do you find playing with a steel string? I know a lot of guys, when I was in school, a lot of the classical players would shun it because it would just eat up their fingers. How do you play electric and not kill your nails?
You see, everybody asks me that, and I just don't understand, because honestly, when I play on the electric guitar, I have to use about 20% of the effort that I usually use. So it's a lot. It's actually a lot easier to play on the electric guitar, so I don't attack it as hard. And also, as long as I sort of use a fine file on my nails, so they're nice and glassy, they slip right off the steel strings a lot easier than on these, for instance, these bass strings are a lot thicker than the bass strings on an electric guitar.
Yeah, for those people listening, Ben's actually playing a nylon string guitar in the studio. And the first track we heard was the Telecaster.
Right. Now, do you use anything on your nails, like hard as nails or anything like that?
I do. I put a thin coating of acrylic glue. It's called 5-second nail glue, and it has powder, too. It's just a thin coating, and I keep my nails pretty short to a lot of people.
Yeah, they're shorter than most I've seen for classical players. But what do you use to make them real smooth?
Oh, I just use a file with a buff thing, like a four-part file, so it's got some buffer on there. And I don't, a lot of people do have a certain angle, and they spend a lot of time using fine sandpapers and stuff like that. I don't really worry about it, honestly. I just have to get it to the place where it works. Mm-hmm. And if it works, it works. Same with gear when I play live, you know. A lot of people say, well, where's your pedal board? And I said, I don't have a pedal board. And, well, what are you going to use for reverb? And I said, well, I don't use reverb, really. And that's a big eye-opener. And everybody asked me, why don't you use reverb? And it's because when you're doing... if you can't hear all those notes with a bunch, if you're swimming in a bunch of reverb, so to get them articulated, more articulation, I just don't use reverb. And you know, because of that, I don't sound like I'm in the background. I sound like I'm right up front.
Yeah, it's, the mixes are you're right there.
Yeah. So
now your Telecaster, you're running that direct, or you're not using any amp, right?
No, I'm just running it right into my computer. I just have a little Apogee Jam input, $99, you know. I plug right in, and then it USB to the computer, right into GarageBand, and boom.
And how do you mic your classical guitars?
This is a sort of an interesting way of doing it. The guitars that I'm playing are Cordoba guitars. And I always play the ones that are set up for live performance. So they have cutaways and they have onboard electronics. And the ones that I prefer are the ones that have a mic pickup blend, right? So there's a microphone inside as well as a piezo pickup underneath the saddle. And honestly, I use the same setup. I plug the guitar in.
You run it direct.
Okay. And I run it direct. And I use a special mix of what I like, blending the microphone with just a little bit of pickup, and then I EQ it on the preamp on the guitar just the way I want it. And by the time it gets into the computer, honestly, it sounds just as good or even better than a lot of guys I know that have a $50,000 worth of gear, and they're compressing the hell out of it. And my guitar just sounds like a guitar, and that's really all I want.
What a concept.
To sound. Everything, all that other electronic BS is just getting in the way of the pure signals.
Right.
But that's the way I think. Most people don't think that way. So I don't know if that's good or bad. It's just,
well, I mean,
I keep things simple.
But you've never felt that you needed like a room sound or to pull, let the guitar breathe a little bit? Because I know now you're using a thin line here. This is a Cordoba C5 CET, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And with a cedar top and mahogany sides and back. But do you ever, for recording, change over and use like full body guitars?
Of course I do. Most of the time I do use full body guitars. I want to get the fullest sound I can possibly get, of course. I am the first one to admit that maybe my tone isn't as good as someone with a $8,000 guitar in a $80,000 studio and with great Neumann mics and everything like that. But I'm doing all my recordings for free. You know, I have my laptop, I have my guitar, I have a $99 Apogee Jam input, and that's it, man. I always prefer to think that it's more in the performance than it is in the gear, because you can have a lame or mediocre player playing through the best gear and it's still going to sound crappy. But you get some master out there like Paco de Lucia, and he can play on a toy and make it sound beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tone is tone, and what you get, the way you get it is unique to you. And I think that that's important, because what you're doing, recording direct the way you do, it gets you the clarity and the articulation that you need for the style that you play. And I think, I agree. I think that, you know, maybe miking it and pulling it back, it might muddy it a little bit. We were talking a little bit earlier about certain types of guitars and stuff. Sometimes it gets too muddy. It resonates too much. Or like even with reverbs, like you said, you don't use a lot of reverb. Well, you're going pretty fast. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and sometimes you need, you know, it works more for being, you know, present. Let's play a clip. This is from, if I pronounce this correct, Flametallica. It's called One, and this is the acoustic, and get an idea of his sound in terms of recording here. Thank you. Now, I'm impressed with, besides all the notes and the technique is just killer, but you're using a dual pickup system, so you got a piezo and a microphone built into the guitar, right?
That's right. That's
and great. Now you're digging into that guitar a lot, but I noticed that he's not really getting that like piezo splat that you normally hear. Even I've used guitars with piezo pickups, and it's hard to get rid of. I mean, you have to play very delicately, and you're just killing it. And that
sounds really warm.
Yeah,
it's very warm.
It's very acoustic because I mean you're playing a very aggressive style, and if you heard like when he's playing here, like he just demonstrated a little bit, and we're going to have him demo some other things. A lot of that attack to his sound, it's his nails and it's the guitar. It's not the piezo, and that's what I noticed in there. It doesn't have that like because that's always been an issue with me with the piezos, and we've talked about this with your guitars. You have the Carlos Juan system, which kind of takes that away. I mean, basically, it's one of the first systems I've heard that doesn't get that. But it's amazing that you can get that. You're digging in those guitars.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a wonderful warm sound. It does sound like a microphone, but you're using mostly mic, right?
Yeah, it's about 90-95% mic.
Oh my gosh!
Really, and just I just use the piezo a little bit so I can EQ in some bass.
But when you speak of the mic, it's like a little gooseneck mic that's inside the guitar.
Yeah, the mic is actually
That's the mic.
Let me take a picture of that.
Yeah, it's basically what he's showing is just a little. It looks like it's attached to the battery pack.
Yes, right underneath the battery pack in the onboard preamp, and. It's probably not the best mic in the world, but here's the reason why I like to use it. Because where I live like a block from the beach, which is nice, but we have waves crashing. We have planes, boats.
Gardeners.
Dogs, gardeners. We've got everything. And in our apartment, it's obviously not soundproof, and there's nothing I can do. I don't have a studio. I'm recording out of the breakfast nook. You know, so I think that my theory is the microphone is now inside of the body of the guitar, right? And there's just the sound hole. So the microphone is actually in a mini studio itself, and it is blocking out all the airplane noises and the big trucks and everything, right? So I don't even have to worry about being actually in a studio because my microphone is inside the body of the guitar, which is like a little studio, and it's blocking out all that crap that I don't want in my recording. Does it sound different being inside the guitar as opposed to in front of the guitar, maybe a couple feet? Yeah, of course it sounds different. So I just have to get really creative with EQing and just make sure that I play well. And so I just want it to sound like a guitar. Again, I come back to that because if I play well, then it'll sound nice. If I play crappy, it'll really sound crappy. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned I was reading one of the interviews about you, and people were asking because again, you're like Jim. You play many styles, even though you're known more like the moniker for you is flamenco, though you do a lot more than flamenco. And they were asking you, I thought it was kind of interesting, they were asking you what the difference was between traditional classical and flamenco. And you had said that in flamenco, you follow the dancer. Can you elaborate more on that?
That's true. Well, I was lucky enough to learn flamenco the proper way. It's not just a word that I throw around. It's something that I've been working and studying and performing for 20 years. The proper way to do that is to learn how to accompany flamenco cante, which is singing, and baile, which is dancing. The guitarist is actually the third man down on the totem pole. It's first the singer, then dance, then guitar, then maybe percussion, and then maybe bass underneath that. And a guitarist's job is to be the orchestra and to be the drummer, but also to accompany the dance. So the dancer will actually set the tempo, and she can bring it up or down, she or he, or stop it on a dime, and I have to be alert enough to follow certain cues and certain non-spoken communication so that it looks like we're rehearsing, even though it might I might be playing for someone I've never met before. Mm-hmm. And we can still make something perfect because we know all the rules. And there's a lot of rules in flamenco. Another thing that sets flamenco apart from classical guitar is that classical guitar, the players really care about tone, okay? And the rhythm might get elastic in some parts. There might be a difficult section, so they slow it down a little bit, or it might be hard to jump from way up here to way down there, so there'd be a little bit of a pause in there. In flamenco, that would be considered a sin, totally wrong. In flamenco, the beat never stops. Even if right. you stop, the beat is still going on in everybody's heads. That way we can count 12 beats, and we all come in on a dime as well. So we care about the rhythm, and if we miss a note here or there, it's not very important. As long as we didn't miss a beat in the rhythm and we just have perfect timing, mm-hmm. that's really what's most important.
Well, let me ask you, for example, in jazz band, the guitar is the timekeeper. The drums, for example, in a big band, they would do the hits and the accents and between them and like the keyboard player and then you know all the other instruments. In rock, obviously, the drummer is the timekeeper. In flamenco, is it as important that you are the timekeeper or is the dancer the timekeeper? Because I noticed that you do a lot of counter rhythms. Can you play against the dancer or do you really have to keep one? Do you have to keep them grounded or how does that work?
Oh, no. We all share the responsibility of keeping time. And in a real flamenco setting, you will have other dancers or singers or just people out there doing palmas, the hand claps, and that is really kind of like the drum set. So we have an ensemble, and everybody has the responsibility of keeping perfect time. We're all listening to each other. So I might be playing something. Well, I was supposed to play a couple more, but I decided to just stop there. So they have mm-hmm. to be alert enough to stop with me and keep the beat going in their head. I'll illustrate it one more time, and then normally it would sound like this. Okay? But I'm going to stop it a little bit short, and they would be alert enough to stop with me.
Right.
So there's more of a pause,
right?
So
like a sense of urgency,
and you're exactly. that percussive hit you're doing. You're tapping with the nail, the soundboard.
These are called golpes. So as the same time I'm striking the strings, I tap the soundboard with my middle or ring finger.
So you're strumming basically from the thumb, and then you're hitting the soundboard with what the ring finger,
middle and ring finger with a little flesh.
That's called golpe?
Golpe. It literally means to hit. So, and there's different ways to golpe. You can golpe like that. I can use, these ones can hurt. I can use my index finger on the, above the low E string, and then hit the entire strings.
Hold the position just before you do it so I can get that. I gotta show that. That's amazing. Hold on. Let me get it again. There we go. Okay. Now, when you're playing these things, does it work a lot? I know that especially the stuff you did in the stuff you're doing in heavy metal, you counterpoint each other well. But and that's a big part of it. You do things, and even in that last piece one, you've got things going back and forth. Is that easy or difficult to do with the dancer? Is that do you get that chance to like comp around them or so?
Of course, of course. Most of every time that I work with the dancer, most of the piece is improvised. Mm-hmm. We have a very loose structure, and we know the rhythm, and we know certain unspoken communication, some signals that I give to the dancers, signals she gives to us, and then the rest is just, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a little bit of playing around. It gets more fun, actually, if there's counterpoint and a lot of improv in between.
So you do a lot. That's encouraged, the improvisation.
Oh, yes.
To go against. Now, you had mentioned, we had talked a little bit before the show, you've been cataloging different types of rhythms and stuff. And you had showed us some stuff that you're working on, some different counter rhythms. And can you give us?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, I guess these things. Flamenco has a lot of different kind of strumming patterns, and if they weren't hard enough, I just wanted to develop some more. Why not? There's just my whole thing is I'm trying to develop new techniques. So I'm trying to call them. Drum strums, and maybe one day I'll put a book out or a video or something, but I just sort of came up with this 2 days ago, so I still don't have them quite under my belt, but it's all about hitting the guitar and strumming and trying to create a beat. So you've got that four on the floor, the embellishing.
Yeah, and this is a good segue into you were talking when you were doing some of the arrangements of the heavy metal tunes for flamenco guitar that you said, you know, as many flamenco techniques, especially right hand techniques, as there are, you still had to come up with new ones to play like Megadeth tunes and stuff like that. Can you maybe talk a little bit about like how you had to maybe think like, oh, I have to think of how do I play that like Dave Mustaine rhythm, exactly, you know, with fingers or whatever?
Well, there's a lot of... I love speed metal. I love thrash metal. I'm just a metalhead at heart, you know. And there's a lot of cool techniques that involve palm muting and speed picking, you know. That type of thing. Or... these kinds of things. So that doesn't sound very cool when I do that with a pick or without a pick on an acoustic nylon string guitar. So I had to develop a way using a rasqueado, which is that sound. Like, for instance, the Bark at the Moon, the... Okay, so I had to figure out a way of going... That type of thing. So so instead of a muted, I strike it index, middle, ring, pinky, and upstroke with my index to get the chord. To get that kind of thing, or... So there's...
Very cool. That's interesting, using the rasqueado.
Because
it sounds very full.
That just doesn't quite cut it, does it? Without... I mean, we're not...
Maybe
using
with a Marshall, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you use it with the rasqueado, you get all the strings resonating, and it sounds so much bigger than if you were palm muting it with a pick.
It does sound huge. It definitely does.
Can't do it. So, so things like that, things like the sweep arpeggios, and you know, putting in... fast techniques that we have with flamenco, like rasqueados or alzapua, which is a cool thumb technique that goes in a...
It's usually a triplet-based kind of figure,
triplet,
right?
Triplet, or you add a legato and there's a quadruplet. So we have triplets. You add a legato and it's quadruplets. So it goes pretty fast, and you're just using your thumb, and that's it.
You're using your thumb, and are you doing pull-offs too? While you're...
Yeah, I'm doing a legato.
Yeah.
Can you play maybe just a little bit of, like, say, a speed metal kind of tune that you would do with just any combination of techniques, just a little bit for the listeners? Anything. Holy Wars.
All right, let's do that one.
I want to know how you do the, if on the, where it's the Aussie, is it Flying High where he does the tapping? Do you do tapping?
No, I do a how do I do that? It's the solo section in Flying High. I do like a sweep arpeggio type of section. Let me see if I can remember how to do it. I haven't played that one in a little while. Let's see. So we're like... Something like that.
And that's gnarly because, I mean, to do those kind of large interval sweeps on a nylon string guitar with the larger space between the frets, that's nuts. That's really awesome.
Yeah, well, he's going across the strings where I think the electric guitar, the standard, he's tapping off of the one string.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're doing it across the strings to get it. Yeah.
You try and tap on it. This is what you get.
Not a lot of volume.
You don't get anything. So that's my biggest challenge in arranging these my favorite metal tunes is, how am I going to arrange this and make it sound all right? Because there's a lot of things that I just can't do. They're just not going to come out on a...
Like a lot of bends that are sustaining bends. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So I have to figure out different ways of doing them. And maybe they won't sound exactly the same, but hopefully they'll sound good and
yeah,
unique.
No, it gets the thought.
Yeah,
across.
I remember. I think it was it I Am a Viking I heard you guys doing, and you were doing the whole section. I think you were doing a tremolo.
Yeah, like a
five-note tremolo or something. It was very cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. No. Now, do you ever do anything like popping or slapping? I mean, not slapping, like harmonics or with your muted harmonics, like we would use with a pick.
Like pinch harmonics, like ZZ Top style?
Yeah, because they do like a squawk type of sound. Do you do that? How do you adapt? How do you, or you don't?
I just find the note and play a normal note. The harmonics really don't come out, except for maybe on the 12th fret and the 5th fret. That's about it.
Okay.
And I don't use those too much, honestly.
But you don't pop or slap the pluck the string, like to do a slap? Or is that in the style? Or
no, I don't really do that at all. I wish I could. Yeah. Maybe I'll have to start working.
So is the is like the last piece you played, or Holy Wars, or The Bark at the Moon? Is that, I know you have a book out, Hal Leonard book. It's called Metal Classics for Fingerstyle Guitar.
That's right. Yeah.
And what off the top of your head, what pieces do you have transcribed on that?
Oh, I have Ace is High by Iron Maiden, Mr. Scary by Doc and George Lynch. I have Flying High again's on there. Tears Are Falling by Kiss.
Do you have any Metallica on there?
Couldn't get the rights to put Metallica on there.
Okay.
No, Nothing Else Matters.
Okay. Oh, you have Nothing
we
Else Matters
that
on there.
One on there. Okay.
Yeah, I have it here. Yeah, Ace is High, Bark at the Moon.
Nice.
The Hellion Electric Eye by Judas Priest, Mr. Scary by Dokken, Tears Are Falling by Kiss, Flying High again, Ozzy, Rainbow in the Dark by
Nice.
Dio. Oh, that's cool. And plus a lesson in flamenco guitar technique used in these arrangements.
Does it come with a CD? the book?
It has a link for download.
Okay, so people can hear the actual versions.
I think they're not including CDs in books anymore.
Okay.
Which I like the CDs in the books, but I guess people just aren't playing CDs anymore. So
yeah, no. It's interesting too. And in his site, let me mention that it's benwood66.wix. W-I-X.
No, it's not. My website is SpanishGuitarPlayer.com.
Oh, really?
That's what it is.
Okay, Spanish guitar. Okay, all right. Because I typed that in and it's.
I know. It's a weird. Forward masking thing. That website.
So Spanish guitar, SpanishGuitar.com.
No, Spanish Guitar Player.
Let me correct.
SpanishGuitarPlayer.com, and you have also a Facebook page too.
I do
a Facebook artist page.
I do. Ben Woods guitarist.
And a YouTube channel that's got like a ton of subscribers on it. It looks like you're like 3,000 or 4,000. What are you up to now?
Is it 9,000?
You're up to 9,000 subscribers. Excellent.
Yeah, the other day it's weird. Like before I left for tour, it was 1 million views, and now it's over 2 million views. I don't know.
That's great.
How that happens in
That's
a couple
great.
Months.
But well, you've been busy.
Happens.
And so, in fact, you just got back from what was it? A month in Europe, and then a few weeks in China, like without even coming home.
Yeah, it was. It was almost 2 months. It was like, about 5.5 weeks in Europe, and 1.5 weeks in China, and. It was totally cool, man. I had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, and was it? What was it? You said you probably wrote some new music while you were over there too.
I definitely did. I had a lot of time by myself in hotel rooms. It's not like a, you know, even though we did play a lot of rock type shows and metal type shows, it's still not like a rock star type of tour. Where we're up all night drinking whiskey and snorting cocaine. It's pretty much after the gig, hopefully we can have a couple of beers before I go back to the hotel, and that's when I really get all my playing done.
Sure.
The gig, I'm only playing for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but I like to play 4 or 5 hours a day. So
that's nice.
That's great.
It's in the hotel that I get the most work done.
I just want to mention SpanishGuitarPlayer.com. The point I was going to make is that when you go on there, besides, you know, links to buy the records and stuff like that, he has the sheet music in the MP3, so you can listen to it, and he shows you, you know, either with the tablature or the traditional notation, you can see how to play the song, which I think is really cool. And then he has videos of the songs, too, so you can see it. You can hear it and you can play it. And I think that's besides, and this is not including the book, the metal classics. This is all these, like, for example, that opening piece, Electric Flamenco Shred, that you can get the MP3 PDF of the sheet music. And I think that's really important because you can do these.
Yeah. You know? I wanted to ask you, Ben, I wanted to actually know, like, what was it that made you decide to say, you know, I want to learn flamenco guitar. I mean, you played metal, right, for years, right? Like, you were playing electric. So what was the catalyst that said, I want to do that? Did you see Paco de Lucia? Was it just what's the story?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I was in Seattle. I was playing death metal. And I was in a band. We weren't that good, but we were evil, so it didn't matter. I lived in a house with all my friends, and we were all musicians, and we needed to get another roommate, so I found a guy, we got this other roommate, we didn't know him very well, he turned out to be a junkie, anyways, he was doing heroin, and we didn't know it, but I found out, well, I came home one day, and he was gone, his stuff was gone, my electric guitar was gone, all the speakers in my gear were gone. And I never did see him again. So, you know, what's a guy to do? I'm broke, I'm young, and I've got no money or job. And I want to play speed metal. So I found a Spanish guitar in the back of a closet and kept practicing speed metal on that. And that's when I thought to myself, hey, you know, that kind of sounds like that Spanish guitar stuff. Maybe I should learn some of that. And then when I save up to get my gear, some new gear, I'll have a cool style. And so I started buying CDs from Spain as much as I could. And I tried to figure out what the hell they were doing. And I was very happy to realize that all the music theory that I learned by playing along to Iron Maiden albums, I could apply to flamenco. We're doing the same scales, similar chord progressions, and it just fits like a glove, man. It's like, but of course, I hit a wall because there's a lot of techniques and just a lot of knowledge in flamenco. It's just a whole culture of art. It's just a whole world unto itself. So I had to pursue formal lessons, and there was a guy in my, fairly close, and started taking lessons with him. And then his wife was a dance teacher, and after about a year, it was time for me to start playing for dance classes. And that's really where I started honing all my skill with rhythm and arrangements. And, I played for dance class like 3 times a week. And it was really terrible because, I'm the only guy in class, and there's like 20 or 30 beautiful girls dancing this exotic, sensual dance. Yeah, it was really...
It's distracting.
It's a very terrible place to be, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It was a great way to meet girls. So
when you were doing these, for the dance classes, did you start incorporating some of those songs that you
No. I wasn't anywhere near ready to do that. I had always had that in the back of my mind that, I heard Paco de Lucia and I thought, oh man, if he just played with a speed metal band, it would just be the coolest thing. So
that's great.
I mean, I've always had sort of the ambition of, I hope to get that good. I still hope to get that good. But I really had to become master these flamenco techniques and also the theory and knowledge behind flamenco.
And you're from Seattle, right?
Yeah. Before I could start to make a fusion, I think that's where many fusions fail, especially guitar fusions, is they don't master both styles. They just get pretty good at one and then experiment with another style, and then the fusion just kind of falls flat. You really have to spend years and years and hours in both styles to be able to figure out how to put them together.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So. Especially the type of stuff where you're doing where it's technique heavy. I mean, there's a lot of... I mean, that's not easy stuff to play. It's not, like a simple... Three chord blues pattern.
I wish it was.
And speaking of that, what I was getting at when I asked you if you're originally from Seattle, I know you have a friendship with Jason Becker, and he's a Bay Area guy, right?
Yeah.
Tell me how that relationship came, because it ties in with the metal, but also the chops. And how did that relationship come about with you and Jason Becker?
Well, I lived in the Bay Area for about 9 years, and I have a very good friend. His name is Dave Lopez. And he ran the famous, some say infamous, rehearsal facility called Soundwave Studios in Oakland. And I would just go there every day to hang out with him. That's where I met Marty Friedman, and he introduced me to him. And then eventually he introduced me to Jason Becker. Went up to Jason's house, and I just hit it off with him, man. I mean, he's just a really cool guy.
And is this before he got sick, or had he been sick?
Oh, no, he has Lou Gehrig's disease. He has ALS, and he is basically paralyzed from the eyeballs down. But his father devised a way for him to communicate with an eye chart, and his whole family and close friends can read his eyes and translate for him. The thing is... he's just another dude like us that likes to, have fun and crack jokes and all that stuff. So I just go over there and crack jokes all the time, and we have a good time hanging out. He's a complete genius. He's still
writing music, like with iBlinks and stuff, and using like software.
And he's writing some incredible stuff.
Yeah, his music is just beyond anything. So why we're friends, I really don't know, but I have to thank my friend Dave Lopez for introducing
And you played a few of the premieres.
Yeah, you know, Dave also is the one that organized the Jason Becker Not Dead Yet benefit shows, which there has been three of. And I've been lucky enough to play on all three of them. The last one, we did a cool piece. We did a Jason Becker song, the song Primal, and we did a flamenco version of it with the flamenco dancer, Arlene Hurtado, and our percussionist, Mike Bennett, who's also the percussionist for the Richie Kotzen Band, who played that night as well. So, and we had a tabla player as well, Solar.
Oh, cool.
And so we did sort of like a world music take on his song Primal, which is already pretty world music already. So,
And that's up on your SoundCloud site, Primal, right?
Is it? I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't know if it is. It's just the scratch version that I made for everybody to learn. So we don't, because we didn't have a chance to rehearse it. Mm-hmm. So I do this a lot. I make a scratch version of something that sounds pretty terrible, but the arrangement is there, and I email it to everybody, and I say, "All right, I'll see you at soundcheck."
Wow!
And I just have to hope that everybody's a professional enough to get it down, you know, without rehearsal, because mm-hmm. I don't have time for rehearsal, or I don't have money to pay people for rehearsals. Things are just different now. We're artists; we have to do everything ourselves, right?
So. Mm-hmm.
But I'm working hard on a lot of things.
Yeah, you have, 18 CDs out?
I've got 18 releases out. Yeah, that's, a couple of them are singles. But, yeah, I have this motto that I've started saying, I'm not going to let any guitarist outwork me. And I'm talking about you,
hey,
brother.
No.
I got it.
And you're awesome, so it's a really hard challenge.
No, thanks.
I got a text from JP and Lisa from Incendio, and they wanted to know, have you and Richie compared notes on using fingers?
Actually, impressed
with both of your approach. Actually, yes. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Richie's a good friend of mine, and since we've been doing a lot of these music cruises together, whether he's with the Richie Kotzen Band or doing Winery Dogs, and then I'm doing Heavy Mellow, we always end up hanging out and having a beer or something. And I've been up to his house a few times. And even one time he actually said, "Come on over. I want you to give me a guitar lesson." And I thought, okay, well, that's just ridiculous. So how about, I mean, that's ridiculous, me giving Richie a guitar lesson, because he is so far beyond what I can even comprehend. But I... pretty sure he was joking, but we went over there. I went over there and I played a little for him, and he played a little for me, and we exchanged a couple licks, and he showed me a couple things, and I showed him a couple things, and it's cool. And actually, the latest Winery Dogs video that I saw, he is doing a little section that kind of looks like some tremolo or something like that. I don't know if it's something he got from me on that day, or, you know, he's so innovative already that he's probably has mastered flamenco and just doesn't want to tell me already. So
you sell yourself short, sir.
It's awesome.
Well, I told you that it would fly by. We're already out of time. And I just want to ask you real quickly, what's up, what's new, what's happening with you? Any new albums that what are you working on now, and anything happening with Heavy Mellow?
Okay. Well, with Heavy Mellow, I'm excited. Next year, we're doing a whole nother set of cruises. We have the Def Leppard cruise in January, the Monsters of Rock cruise with all the shredders like Steve Vai, Uli John Roth, Gus G, and just massive other people in February. Then Moody Blues cruise, and then in October, they're doing a Monsters of Rock cruise West Coast. So that's always fun.
Any new albums?
Yeah, I am almost done with the Electric Flamenco album.
Okay,
and it's got, I'm very, very proud of it. I'm not sure if anybody's going to be able to get into that kind of sound, but I've never really heard it done before. There is one gypsy in Spain that does it. His name is Jaco Abel, and he does it very well. But I'm doing like whammy bar dive bombs, and I'm trying to do some different things. I do have some tapping sections in there as well.
Oh, cool.
But in 12/8 time, you know, and just I'm trying to do some crazy things in there. Will people like an electrified sound with a flamenco approach or electrified flamenco song forms like bulerías and fandangos and sigarillas and stuff like this? I don't know, but I like it.
And you're documenting it, which is awesome.
Yeah. I like it. It's what I'm doing. I seem to always find something new to do every year. And this is electric guitar is modern technology is the way I'm seeing it. So everybody's stressing out on how to properly amplify these nylon string guitars. I think that it's pretty much as good as it's ever going to get.
Well, it's that's just another excuse to have you come by because we're going to have to talk about that when that album comes out. I also want to mention check out Encantado, Jim's album, and also
and Ben did the artwork for my album.
He's
a great fine artist.
Thanks.
And also too, Incendio has their Christmas album, O Night Divine, that just came out. So check that out.
Comes out tomorrow morning.
Oh, it is? It's not out? Oh,
well, it's right. out east right now.
It's out.
That's out.
So, but anyway, we're going to close real quick. What clip are you going to play? It's a Metallica tune, right?
Yeah, I'm going to play Motor Breath from the Kill 'Em All album.
Okay, go ahead.
Take these things off here.